You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
Right here on your favorite, what was it?
ORSPS. Online Radio Station Podcasting Service.
Yes, Active FM.
Active FM in short.
That is us.
Yeah, and you are listening to Ryan and Sash from the movie show.
Another wonderful, fabulous
movie review.
A movie. And I'm guessing that you looked at the title and you were like, Okay, let's be honest, right? Between you and me. You're looking at the title, you're thinking horror, darkest hour, dark times, you know. Now, can I just say, Winston Churchill, I've heard his name, and I've sort of heard one or two things about him, but for me, this was like a history lesson for me.
Ah!
So I was like, oh, okay, very interesting. While during the movie, I would sort of just, you know, if you've got a Mac, you can like multiple. So while I'm watching the movie, I just quickly go to Google and I'd be like Winston Churchill, then I'd like look up facts, oh okay cool, and I'd go back, but like wait, was he? And then I'd Google, oh okay cool, and I'd go back. So I was like educating myself at the same time. You see, movies are good.
Movies are brilliant.
Movies are the right movies.
The
are
right
good.
Movies, yes. So yes. Darkest Hour is actually a historical drama film, if I can put it like that. I'm pretty sure that is the genre I'm guessing right
it
now.
It is drama, yes.
But it's deaf and it's history, it's factual. It is on Winston Churchill, and do you know, this is crazy, do you know the whole film took place within 5 weeks? It was the first 5 weeks of Winston Churchill's reign,
yes,
as Prime Minister,
as
I don't know what
Prime
the
Minister.
Word is. The film shows basically how the first 5 weeks of Winston Churchill's experience as Prime Minister was, and if you watch the film, you will know that change. They were very, very, very stressful. Like, extremely stressful. But the film actually didn't take place over, like, a long... It wasn't months and months. It doesn't look at his whole, like, reign as Prime Minister. It's actually just the first 5 weeks, but it was brilliant. It really was brilliant.
You see, we enjoy all sorts of films, from action to romance comedies to rom dramas, right? It was a romance drama, that other one that we watched.
Which one?
I don't know. There was
one. There was
one
a romance drama?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Romance.
I'm sure there was. Anyway, but we would watch a romance drama.
Right.
And now we've watched a war drama.
A war drama.
Yes. Done. Movie released in 2017.
Yes, 2017.
You'll enjoy 2 hours and 5 minutes.
And you will enjoy all 2 hours and 5 minutes of it.
And just so you know, 87% of Google users like this film. Yes. I'll throw that one in for free. As for the actor that played Church Winston...
Okay, no, wait. Let's do box office and budget first, and then we
because
can get to this guy.
That one, I was just... I promise you, I looked who played him.
Yes.
And this is after the film. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're like...
I was just like, wait, hang on. Whoa.
Wait. No,
and then I went
crazy.
Back and forth. I'm like, I'm looking at the actor. I'm looking at him. And I'm like...
This is crazy.
Huh? Box office.
The budget for the film was $30 million. The box office was $150.8 million. So they really, really did well with this film. And it is a phenomenal film. If you have not watched it, go and watch it. I know it's history and you might be like, but first of all, it's got brilliant actors in it. Secondly, the film, the photography, everything, it's brilliant. And then on top of it, it's got humor. It's got your good old British humor, which is the best kind of humor, because British humor is very funny. No, it's actually you often find yourself laughing, even though it's actually based on such stressful events, because the film is actually based on when Winston Churchill came into office. He was actually dealing with Hitler and the whole appeasement thing that was going on. So the whole of Europe was trying to appease Hitler, to give him what he wanted so that he'd stop being the...
A big
dictator
bully.
And a big bully that he was being. And Winston Churchill thankfully stood up and said, no, we can't appease him anymore, because if we appease him, he's just going to take over everything and everyone, which is exactly what Hitler wanted to do. And he then made the decision to actually stand up and not appease Hitler anymore. So even though it's actually very stressful, because you see how there was fights within the UK, within the parliament, the two different parties weren't having it, and yet they still brought in humor. So that is pretty cool. And then the director. The director is a man named Joe Wright. And he has also directed Pride and Prejudice. Ryan, have you watched Pride and Prejudice?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like I'm going to force Ryan to watch Pride and Prejudice.
I feel like I'm going to force myself to. Because I've heard this name has come up before lots of times.
Mm-hmm. It's a good film. It really is. It's based on a Jane Austen novel. So, yeah. It's kind of along the lines of Little Women, I'd say, in a way. But it's
Little Women. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that like a romantic
yes,
drama?
Possibly, yes.
There you go. That's the film I was talking about.
Okay, there we go.
All right, just cut that out and put it in the
He also has directed, now this is a film I actually want to go and watch. It's called The Soloist, which is with Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx. Sure, I almost said Jamie Oliver. I was like, that is not an actor, that's a chef.
I was going to leave you. I was going to be like, maybe
like,
that's his
middle
name.
What is the guy's surname again? Flip, it's not Oliver. What was it? I knew I should have written it down.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. And it's on, I don't know which musician, but it's. I think it's a true story based on a certain, I don't know if it was Jimi Hendrix, so I actually can't remember. But I know that that's The Soloist. And then there's another film which I don't want to watch, but I thought I would just mention it. I think it's one of his latest films. It's called Swallow. So I went and watched the trailer to this film, and it's weird. There is this lady who adores her husband, but has this weird fantasy, not fantasy, this weird addiction to swallowing things. But she'll swallow anything because she likes how it feels. It's very weird. It looks like one of those psych...
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like... At first, I thought it was Jennifer Lawrence. The actress in it actually looks... She's the splitting image of Jennifer Lawrence, but it's not her. But I was just like, okay. At first, I was like, oh, this looks good. And then as I watched the trailer, I was just like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm not into, you know, those films where it just psychologically takes you on a mental ride that you don't have to go on.
Sounds like a movie I'd want to watch now.
Okay, Ryan, you can go watch and yes. Okay, but now let's get to this actor. So this actor's name is Gary Oldman, and he's brilliant. He's brilliant. I am shocked. I was shocked when I was doing research. I was just like, oh my goodness, what the hell? Like he was amazing. He literally was amazing in this film. He became Winston Churchill. He actually became... In fact, I read some trivia somewhere that his wife actually said that during filming, she felt like she would go to sleep with Winston Churchill and then wake up with Gary in the morning. That's how much, like, he got into the character. Like, even people on set, when you watch interviews, a lot of them were like, I forgot it was Gary. I felt like I was with Winston Churchill. And they were even saying, like, obviously he's passed away and all of that, so you're not going to get in a room with Winston Churchill, but they were like, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to being in a room with Winston Churchill, and they were like, and it was pretty good.
Well, can you imagine having such a transformation from real life? They say that with all the, what is the word, I can't pronounce it,
prosthetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was like basically carrying his body weight.
They said, what I saw was they said, so for the entire time of filming, if you add all of it up, he carried half his weight in prosthetic makeup. But his prosthetic, this was crazy. So this was his routine of makeup every day of filming, right? So in the morning, it took them 4 hours. 4 hours to do his makeup. And that was all the prosthetic. His face was basically prosthetic. He had cheek pieces. He had nose pieces. He had literally, they did say they did try to keep, they wanted Gary to come through as well because he needed to act and stuff. And if you just cover an actor's face with prosthetic makeup, you won't get the performance. So they did make sure that they would still get the performance across. But he had 4 hours in the morning, and then it would take them 1 hour to get out of it. And every single day, it was a new piece of prosthetic, so they didn't reuse. Yep. Every single day, I was like, these makeup artists are committed. And they would be paying, you know how your skin, you can sometimes see like the red, like, I don't know what it is, like blood vessels.
Blood vessel veins, yeah.
They would literally sit and paint them on individually to this cheek or whatever mask that they were adding on. But every day, I was just like, oh my goodness. No, they were crazy.
So you can imagine that. So every day that they film, like as she said, it's a new piece.
Mm.
So, and then you've got the blood vessels, which, and they're this fine little, exactly the same. So in other words, this artist had to make duplicates, which means that the blood vessels had to look exactly the same, all of them, every time.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine, so if it takes 4 hours to put it on, let's say they start shooting at 9 o'clock, what time must this guy be up,
in
have
makeup,
gotten himself together, have gotten himself to location, and then, start, I mean, 4 hours.
That's
Think good. About that.
5 hours a day just on makeup. Think 5 hours. That. That's crazy.
For me, that would feel like the main event.
I would be so irritated.
I have to get myself together so that I can spend 4 hours doing makeup. Then when the 4 hours are done, now we
I was like, how did that affect filming schedules? Because it's not like you can now just start filming. I mean, you can't have half Winston Churchill, half Gary Oldman on set. You have to wait for his makeup to be done.
I've heard of artists, I mean, you know, actors getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to start their makeup at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It must be exhausting for them.
4, 5, 6, 7 to be ready by 7. Yeah.
And then they're in full day shoots.
Exactly.
And then they still have to go and get the makeup off because I don't think nobody wants to go and sleep. And also you're carrying around extra weight. Literally, you're carrying around physical weight on your body because you've got this whole, you've got prosthetic makeup on you. It's, that stuff, it doesn't look light. It looks quite realistic and lifelike. So that was crazy. The director actually even said, he joked and said, so he was like, yeah, he approximately had 4 hours in the morning and 1 hour to take it off. So I basically never saw Gary Oldman during filming. That was his comment. Like, that's how hectic the makeup was. But
exactly.
Gary Oldman, the makeup was on another level. Like, literally, it was brilliant. But also his performance was on another level. And apparently he spent a year studying Winston Churchill and his mannerisms before starting on this movie. And you can see it. He literally transformed. I feel like I've never seen a character transformation like this, where you see the actor and then you see the character and you're just like, he doesn't look the same, he doesn't sound the same, he doesn't walk the same. Like, he sounded completely different. You heard it, if you hear him in interviews and then you hear Winston Churchill in the film, it doesn't sound like the same person. It really doesn't sound like the same person.
I'm still looking at the two photographs and I'm still like,
it doesn't. It doesn't do it. Go do yourself a favor. Go search Gary Oldman and then go search him in Darkest Hour as Winston Churchill. You will be shocked. You will be shook.
So what my question still is, why Gary Oldman? Couldn't they just find some actor that...
I know one of the reasons was they wanted to keep it a British cast because all of the characters were British. The only exception was the actor who played King George. He was an Australian. But, I mean, he does do a British accent so well. And also, he just played the part perfectly. So that's why they were like, yeah, no, we're going to give it to him, an Australian. But the rest of the cast, I know, was British. And I know that the weird thing is, it's like, why would they have chosen him? Because he doesn't even look like Winston Churchill. But I think the way he pulled it across was brilliant. Like, he, for me personally, is the best person to have played this role. In fact, there's been a lot of people that have actually played Winston Churchill, and they say that his performance as Winston Churchill in this movie was the 22nd time the Best Actor Academy Award has been won for playing a real-life character. In his review of this movie, critic Brian Tallarico even suggested that this movie was made purely to get Oldman, one of Britain's most acclaimed actors for 30 years, a long-overdue Oscar.
Sure.
So, no, but he really did well. Also, in a final interview before his death on August 3rd, 2017, which was published by the Daily Mail Online, Robert Hardy, who earned widespread acclaim and a BAFTA nomination for his performance in Winston Churchill, The Wilderness Years, which was made in 1981, he predicted that Oldman's portrayal would be one of the finest, and he was quoted, this is what he said,
sure,
from everything I've seen and heard, Oldman's portrayal of Churchill is far more convincing than some some other recent portrayals, he certainly looks the part. He's undergone a remarkable transformation, but it's not just his appearance. He's managed to catch the essence of the man. Hardy said it was dangerous for an actor to simply rely on Churchill's famous prop such as a cigar. It's important to get the little details. It's not just the look, but Stan's style and speech too. And he really did it. He really did it. He did it so well. He deserved that award because he, you know, when you blow, you know, when you do research and you see the main actor, normally the main actor just looks the same. The accent might be different.
Well, that's what I thought.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The accent sometimes is different. You know, like you'll get Tom Holland who has a British accent and often plays American roles, and then you're like, oh, okay, he's British or whatever. But when the actor and the character look nothing alike, you're just like. For me, it wasn't. The look was amazing. The prosthetic makeup was amazing. But the thing that got me was his voice. He did not sound the same. He didn't sound like the same person. He literally changed his voice completely. The way he spoke, the way he sounded, everything. It was. But you can see that he put in a year of studying Winston Churchill and all of his mannerisms and everything.
A whole year. Eh?
A whole year just studying. That's it. So if you think acting is easy, people, it's not. It takes effort, it takes energy, it takes studying. Yeah, you thought acting didn't take studying. But also, it takes a physical toll on your body. Do you know that Gary Oldman revealed on the Graham Norton show in 2007 that, no, it couldn't have been 2007, probably 2017, that he smoked 30,000 pounds sterling worth of cigars on set, which is about 12 cigars a day, while in character as Churchill, and he developed nicotine poisoning and had a colonoscopy during the Christmas filming break. How hectic is
that? Okay.
So he really, like, he did it. Wow. And he, like, he put in everything. He even put, yeah. So during Christmas, while everyone's celebrating, Gary Oldman was sitting in a hospital because he had nicotine poisoning. So guys, don't smoke.
I wonder what it must have felt like for him to go back.
Right.
After that, he's like, no, I have to smoke this thing for a reason. I've just gone through all this trouble.
Can we not get a fake one? Yeah.
You know, just...
Because I feel like he was smoking the whole movie.
Pretty much, whenever you saw him.
Yeah, he had a cigar. In fact, there was one scene where you see, and this is like the prolific scene of the film, or like, it's the scene that really, really stands out. It's when Winston Churchill goes to the subway and actually starts speaking with the British... the commoners.
That is the cool part.
Yeah, yeah. To find out what they were thinking and like what he should do, which is actually factual. They said he never went into a subway, so that whole scene was fictional, but he did go speak to the common British people. That he actually did do. But that scene, the reason why he actually got out the car was because he realized he had forgotten his matches and was looking for them, and that's the reason he got out to go and fetch them and then ended up taking the subway and all of that. And yeah. That's all the tube, as they call it. So he really was like smoking the whole film. But now, talking about the makeup, so he obviously had extensive makeup, and that was used to transform him into Winston Churchill. But they were saying to call this aging makeup would not be entirely accurate. So obviously, normally when they do prosthetic makeup, generally, there can be different things, but generally it is aging makeup. But
yeah.
In May 1940, Churchill was 65 years old. And 6 months, 65 years and 6 months old. Oldman turned 59 during filming. So it actually, the age difference wasn't like that intense from like an aging perspective. But obviously I think the main reason for the prosthetics.
More dense.
Yeah, it was to get him to be Churchill. That was the transformation. Yeah. Which was amazing. So, just some facts. Winston Churchill often disappeared from Downing Street or the Cabinet War Rooms and appeared somewhere in London where he would talk to the public and find out what they were thinking. However, like I said, there is no record of him ever doing this in an underground train. But that scene was so cool. That scene was...
That was nice.
That was like one of the... That scene, and then, you know, at the end he does that speech, that wartime speech?
Yes.
That like epic... Yeah. Those two scenes were like... They were amazing. Yep. In fact, talking about that scene, so obviously they created Parliament or the House of Commons for the film because that's where they would all go and, you know, discuss whatever they needed to discuss. Yes. So apparently they did actually ask if they could film in the actual House of Commons. And they got permission. However, this is so stupid, they said you can film, but none of the actors can sit on the chairs. Because apparently their MPs have royal behinds that can only sit on certain chairs. So in other words, they could use the building, but they couldn't sit in the chairs, which would have been like, but how are we going to... Do you get out? Like, you can't film that without anyone sitting in the chairs. So what they did was they built their own House of Commons, which they said it was quite pretty accurate to the original House of Commons. And then they got, obviously, all the actors in and that. But one person was actually saying to be in that room at that moment when he gave that speech, she was like, people would pay so much to go and see this performance. And I think that was the set designer, or it was someone on set was actually saying, like, when they were just watching it, like, the fact that they were in that room, she said it was like surreal, that experience of him giving that speech.
Yeah.
And just, you see the extras go crazy.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because it was a really, really good scene. Quite a good sequence. Something interesting that I came across in an interview with Gary Oldman was that in the war room, now that was apparently they filmed in the actual war room, and he spoke about the fact that he sat in the chair that Winston Churchill as well sat in, to the point that when he put his hands on the side, what do you call those side
handles.
There were marks from where Churchill actually would be scratching and digging his. So on the one side, because of the intensity, there's nail marks.
That's crazy.
And on the other side, there's marks from his ring.
Oh wow!
From the scratches and stuff. So for him, he said it was to sit in that chair and feel those marks. Sure. And it was like, wow, sure, you know.
He really, yeah.
Yes.
I know Lily James, she was in it as well. She acted as his secretary also. She did a brilliant job. She was saying, though, it's like a maze down there. You can get lost, like... And it's also, it's very crowded and very... But, no, the sets were amazing. The sets were really, really good. And apparently, when the events took place, it was, I think... summertime or going into summertime in the UK, but they actually filmed in winter. So what they said was they had to, with the lighting, you'll see in most scenes, they had to put these big lights up outside so that it looked like the sun was scorching in, but it actually wasn't because they were filming in the middle of winter. Yeah. And according to Gary Oldman, 26 members of Churchill's family attended the London premiere of this movie, 17 whom had earlier visited the set, which is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
So they actually went to go watch it. Now, this is just sad. This is a sad fact. So in the film, Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister before Winston Churchill, he was dying of cancer, which is obviously what happened. Now, John Hurt was supposed to play Neville Chamberlain, and he actually, though, was ill with cancer when he was set to portray Neville Chamberlain, who was dying of cancer in 1940. However, an interview, Gary Oldman said that because Hurt was so ill, he never made it to a reading and never got to film a scene. The movie was still dedicated to Hurt, as it would have been his final cinematic project, and he died on the 25th of January 2017, aged 77. So that's quite... So the person who played Neville Chamberlain in the film, it's not him that had cancer. He was the second choice, I would say.
The guy that was set to.
The actor who originally was supposed to, he actually died of cancer. Yeah. And then the producers had tried to locate a genuine pre-World War II tube train to film the underground scene, obviously when Winston Churchill went and spoke to the general public. However, none of them could obtain it. Instead, a 1959 tube stock carriage, which was very similar in style to the 1938 stock, was hired. And it was hired from a museum, a railway museum, and cosmetically restored to resemble a wartime train. But also that train, there were sequences where it was completely CG, because the director was actually saying, I think he had two shots. He could take two, there were two, he had two takes, that's all he had, with the train moving. And he had to choose very wisely what he was going to use, and then he got the shots that he wanted, and then for the rest of it, it was CG. So there's one shot, it's a close-up of Churchill right by the train, and you see the train passing behind him. That train is CG. But the director had two shots. So
I wonder which are the two.
There was a long shot that he got, and I can't remember the other shot he said, but yeah, he literally was like.
It's obviously because the train is fragile.
Yeah.
He didn't want to move it too much, yeah, because it's historic.
Yeah.
Yes, museum material.
Exactly. Objects. Fall apart.
Yeah.
From the 1950s. Yeah. So the British historical characters were almost without exception played by British actors. Australian Ben Mendelsohn was cast in addition to his several acclaimed prior roles because he was a close physical resemblance to King George VI, more so than Colin Firth and Jared Harris, who two actors who also recently played King George. Colin Firth obviously played King George in The King's Speech, and they chose him over those two who had played King George before because they said his physical appearance is more alike to King George's actual appearance. And then they said, and he's capable of a seamless British accent. He really is. But you know what's cool with that guy? The guy that plays King George, he's got such a serious manner to him. Like in
he's
every film.
He's always so stiff.
But do you know that I was watching behind the scenes footage. Literally, you see him laughing and like having the time of his life. And then they were literally like, he'll be like completely different. And as soon as they start counting down, he just like sobers up and becomes like this, what we see in the film and like this. But he actually did a very good job because I don't know if you remember that King George, the way he spoke, he obviously had the stutter, and then also just the way he spoke, I don't know how to explain it, he had like a unique way of speaking, and I felt yeah, like he got that. Like he, when watching the film, I was still thinking the whole time, I wonder if this is King George. And then at one point in the film, they obviously called him Bertie.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay, it is him. But even the way he spoke, I feel like the way he spoke also, it was like, I think this is him because he did speak like that. So
I was actually, the way that they spoke, there's a way that they pronounce the R's.
Yes.
And I think they're W's. It almost sounds like a wobble.
Yes.
The way that they talk. It almost sounds like, I don't know if it was a proper way of pronouncing in English those days that you don't make your R's so strong.
Yeah.
But there was just the way I was talking. I was like, like Churchill was talking like that. There were some of the people that were.
Yeah.
And for me, it sounds a bit almost, I don't know, conics, but it doesn't sound proper and English and, you know, lift and pronounce your words. They would just be talking, and then and I'd just be like, yeah. And they all spoke like that. So it wasn't just one specific person that I was just. It was quite interesting that they chose a very type of English speaking accent.
I think films also give us like the wrong perception of how the royal family speaks. Do you get what I'm saying? Like we've watched Princess Diaries and we've watched all of these films about kings
English
and how they
proper pronounce your words. Meanwhile, watching this film, maybe that was the way that they actually did.
Yeah, which was pretty cool. And apparently Gary Oldman also said that director Joe Wright opted for 4 weeks of generous rehearsals, which is quite unlike.
What rehearsals?
Generous. So in other words, they're saying films don't normally get that much time to rehearse, but they actually were in 4 week rehearsals before filming began.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that helps the filming time.
Mm, definitely.
So when you come down to filming, it goes a lot, you know, quicker, smoother runs. Yeah.
But this film really, it was a very good film from every aspect. It's one of those films when you finish it, you're like, that was a good movie. That was...
Yes.
It really, really is good. If you have not watched this film, you want to watch this film. And if you have watched this film, you want to watch it again. Because I know I want to watch it again. But it really was... It was very, very, very enjoyable. It really was good.
We had the choice between... Well, the week before, it was like, okay, Sashi, Super 8 or The Darkest Hour. And then Sashi was like, Super 8 is more like...
Stranger Things,
and then The Darkest Hour is like a history run, and I was like, oh, okay, Super 8. And then this week I was like, okay, here we go, history film.
Right?
Right, Darkest
Hour. Right, history films are good.
This one, I really enjoyed it, yeah.
And just for some information, in this film, if you've ever watched Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, watch that because it will also... The movies all just help each other make sense then. So I remember we watched Pearl Harbor, which is a film by Michael Bay, brilliant film based on the events of Pearl Harbor. And then afterwards, there was a film that came out. It's a recent film called Midway. And Midway actually took place after the events of Pearl Harbor. Now, they're two completely separate films. It wasn't a continuation, new actors, everything. But because we'd watched Pearl Harbor, it was nice to then watch Midway because you almost like have the background now, so you know what's happening in the next film. So with this film, this is what happened on the British island during the whole Dunkirk thing. So if you watch Dunkirk, Dunkirk is more set on the French beach. Of Dunkirk, where they were trying to get the soldiers off and the Germans were coming in, then this is slightly before that, obviously, because by the end of the film, you see them sending the sailboats and all of that.
Yeah, there's even those boats, I remember in Dunkirk, I was like, oh, is that what that was? So there's two other films that we know that happened, that plug into this film quite well, and it was Dunkirk, and then there was also, we did The King's Speech, which also sort of kind of... You know who the king is.
Yeah, it gives you background to the king. And I liked the relationship between the king and Winston Churchill.
Especially when the king came to his house. I was like, oh, that's nice, man. He came to... And especially he walked in there and there's like, Churchill. And then Churchill like dresses himself up. He's like, what? The king's here. And the wife's got like, well, unless it's a good impersonation of the king.
Right? No, the humor was brilliant. The humor really and was good.
Like, so, you still scared of me? He's like, just a little.
it was really cool. That was Darkest Hour. Please note, the film is not called The Darkest Hour. There is another film called The Darkest Hour, which is a film about the end of the world or something like that. I can't remember. I saw the trailer for it. Wasn't really interested in watching it. This one is just Darkest Hour. It was made in 2017, and it is on Winston Churchill. But it is brilliant.
I like the... If you look at the actual movie poster... It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know if you got the right one if Churchill is on it. And then he's got that speech at the back behind Churchill in big. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Very nice.
Yeah, so this has been the movie show right here on Active FM.
With your hosts.
Mm-hmm. Session Ryan.
Yes.
And we will be back next week with another awesome movie review.
Yeah, who knows what we're going to do next week.
Who knows?
But, you know. Stay tuned. Yes, stay tuned. There you go. And you'll know. All right.
Yeah. So this
we do
is
good movies, okay? So
no, we do.
Yes.
We really do. Yes. Brilliant we give movies. You good things to watch.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So this is us signing out.
Join the Active FM shows, well then catch us on Instagram at ActiveFM777, Twitter and Gab at ActiveFM, Facebook at ActiveFM/777, as well as YouTube at ActiveFM and our website at www.activefm.co.za. Don't stop, don't hesitate, find, follow and enjoy us on all our different platforms. You don't want to miss out.